This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. A quick apology for last week. Got a bit ill. Wasn't able to attend the lesson. But inshallah we try to cover as much as possible today, bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we go into number 32, the Shaykh, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he quoted an ayah where he said, وَلَا تَخْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانُ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Do not follow that which you do not have knowledge of. The shahid from the ayah is this, that a person, in whatever case he might be, he doesn't speak without knowledge. Regarding an issue that he has no knowledge about, he does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him to by returning it back to Ahlul Ilm, the people of knowledge. Whether this person is a ami, a common folk, a general person, or he is from those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know, with proofs and evidences. And likewise mentions in another hadith, in another ayah, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوَ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ. And when it comes to them, something related to public fear or safety, they announce it to the people, or they begin to indulge in these affairs. Had they only returned it back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ulil Amr, those of the ulama, and likewise the leaders. You find many people, especially those who have just become or started to seek knowledge, as soon as an affair pops up, they are very, very quick in indulging into the affair, start speaking without knowledge. He might accuse a person. He might accuse a person of being such and such, when in actually the case is there's absolutely no basis regarding it. And likewise, if we look at the manhaj as-salaf, the ideology of the righteous and previous predecessors, and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, this is khilaf ma yaf'alun. This is in contradiction to what many of the people they do. As soon as an affair pops up, they jump on the bandwagon, all guns blazing. He might call a person a mubtadi', an innovator, or might go as far as making takfir, calling this person a kafir, or even calling him a mumayya', or calling him a person that waters down the ideology of the righteous predecessors. But in the real case, there's nothing behind it, and this person, he speaks without knowledge. So a person needs to be very, very careful of what he says, of what he does, especially when these major affairs, they come along. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us to be very, very careful. Haftani and hilm. It was narrated by Abu Ya'la that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, At-ta'anni min Allah wal-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. Being careful is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being hasteful is from the shaytan. And likewise mentioned in another hadith, which was narrated by Muslim, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to a sahabi, inna fika khaslatayn yuhibbuhum Allah, al-hilmu wal-anat. Within you is two characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, al-hilmu wal-anat. The meaning of hilm, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi, He mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari in his explanation, هو التأني وعدم التسرع بالمؤاخدة. التأني meaning very, being very careful, and likewise not being very quick on making rulings upon the people. And likewise, the meaning of al-anat, which is very important, Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, التأني وترك العجلة, being very careful and leaving off being hasteful. So a person, when he makes a ruling upon a person, he needs to be very, very sure. Especially, this person will fall into accusations regarding a person, and it could be the reason why this person comes on Yawm al-Qiyamah and takes your deeds. We all know the hadith which is in Sahih Muslim, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about a person that is bankrupt. So when the Sahabi was asked, he said, a person that has no money and he has no wealth, this person is a bankrupt. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, rather a bankrupt person is a person that comes on Yawm al-Qiyamah where he has good deeds, and his good deeds are taken away. Why? Because he oppressed this person. He spoke about this person. He accused this person, or he backbited this person. Until this person will have no deeds, the people will be giving him their sins. So a person needs to be very careful of what he says regarding any person, and he needs to have bayinat. He needs to have bayinat, proofs and evidences regarding any affair, especially when talking about the honor of the people. طيب. And likewise, going back, just going back to the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, ask the people of knowledge with proofs and evidences, whether this person is a general folk or he is a person of knowledge. Na'am. Even the general folk, when he asks an alim about any affairs, he asks this alim in a way where he's trying to seek the proofs. He doesn't ask him, what is your opinion regarding this issue? This is not knowledge. إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنُّ وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. The dunun, and likewise the ara, the opinions, they have nothing related to the haqq. Rather, when a person wants to seek a fatwa, he asks this person regarding what is the closest to the haqq, what is the closest to the proofs. So this alim has to give him a proof. This is what Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr al-Maliki, he mentioned in his book Jami' Bayan al-Ilmi wa Fadlihi, even regarding a common folk, he asked for the proof or what is closest to the proof. Naam.
Last time you covered about interference and the ideology, and nothing on the many interferences and nothing on the very active. So, Nani, what do you advise regarding sitting around these people? Or, and a second of all, regarding the Salah, what is the rule, the one who he delays his Salah as well?
Okay. Regarding the ideology, the brother he asked, the takfir is here, meaning those that are very, very quick, or they make takfir of the people due to sins and other things like this. And mostly goes back to the ignorance that they declare a person to be a kafir when he actually isn't. And this is a very, very dangerous issue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith, من قال في أخيه المسلم الكافر إذا كان كما قال وإلا رجعت عليه. The hadith is in Bukhari. Whoever says about his brother that he's a kafir, if he says due to يعني a basis, otherwise it goes back against him. So we understand from this is a very dangerous issue that we declare a person to be a kafir, especially in a case when this person is not deserving so. So the brother asked, what's the advice regarding sitting around them or being around them or befriending them, etc. Some of the Salaf used to say, Man sahiba sahib. Whoever befriends, he gets pulled toward this person. You might not be upon the same ideology as them, but in a manner of time, or as the days and nights they go on, you will find a person, he will start to adopt these things. Why? Because he begins to like them, or he's not able to defend himself against the doubts that comes to them. So a person, until he becomes firmly grounded, يعني he doesn't go to them or debate them or tries to sit with them. Because if a person does that, all that will happen, this person will give him shubahat, he will not be able to defend himself against this issue, and he will not be able to differentiate that which is haqq, that which is batil. For example, now, they will make you believe even though the apparent of the ayah shows or goes in accordance to what they say, which is actually not correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيَّةً وَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيَةُ فَأُولَيْكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. The individual that makes a mistake, this is what is apparent in the ayah, بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيَّةً وَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيَةُ. The individual that commits a evil deed and he becomes overwhelmed by his mistakes, فَأُولَيْكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. These are from the people of the hellfire. Here in the ayah it says, whoever does a bad deed. And what do the takfiris do? What do the khawarij they do? If a person falls into a mistake or commits ma'asi, disobedience, this person is a kafir, according to them. But if you go back to the kalam of the salaf, like Ibn Abbas in the books of Tafsir Ibn Kathir, or Ibn Kathir, what do you find? That the intended purpose, or purpose regarding this ayah, or regarding the word khati'ah, it means shirk. It means shirk, which is very well known that if a person dies upon shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive him. The shahid is, they will get ayat like this, when the apparent of it is haq, or it goes in accordance to what they're saying, but it actually isn't. Why? Because it goes against the understanding of the sahaba. So a person needs to be very, very careful of who he sits with, and likewise who he befriends. The Prophet said, الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. A person is upon the religion of his friend. So he needs to be very careful of who he befriends. And like there's many, many hadith, the Salaf, they warned us regarding sitting with the people of desires, sitting with the people of Ahlul Bid'ah. Ibn Abbas, he mentioned, لا تجالسوا مع أهل الأهواء فإن مجالستهم ممرضة للقلوب. Do not sit with the people of desires, for indeed, they bring a sickness to the heart. So inshallah, stay with your brothers, stay with those who are upon the pure way of the Sahaba, who try to the best of their ability to stay upon the proofs and evidences, until inshallah ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you tawfiq, and likewise gives you ilm, so you are able to call these people who are mostly upon ignorant, especially those who are in Nottingham and other than them, with proofs and evidences. As for the issue about latening the salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, inna salata كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. For indeed the salat has been prescribed upon a person that he establishes it upon his correct time. So whether it is any prayer, a person tries to pray it in his correct time and doesn't exceed, and likewise doesn't go against or go over the boundaries of when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed the prayer, he prays it in its exact time and doesn't lighten it. طيب, number 32. When it is said to you, how many abodes are there? Say three. Number one, the transient abode of this dunya, this life, and the proof is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And this life is only an object of deception. The abode of the barzakh, between this life and the hereafter. And the proof is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. And behind them is a barzakh, a barrier, until the day they are resurrected. Number three, the permanent abode, and the proof is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing about the believer from the people of Pharaoh, يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعُ وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْخَرَارِ. O my people, truly this life of the world is nothing but an object of enjoyment, and verily the hereafter is the permanent abode. طيب. Here the Shaykh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him, he mentions to us the three abodes. This dunya, we are all living in this dunya. We are all living in this dunya, and this is the first of the three abodes that the Shaykh is trying to indicate to. As for the second one, is the Hayat al-Barzakh. The life between the life that we're in and the life of the hereafter. Of when the, after the, basically the Yawm al-Qiyamah. When a person is entered into Jannah or Hellfire. There's a life that a person is in, which is in his grave, which is after this life. And then you have the third part, which is the life of the hereafter, when a person enters into Jannah and he stays in there forever and ever. As for number 33, it clarifies and explains more of what is mentioned in 32. When it is said to you, what is the first of the dwelling places of the hereafter? Say, the first of the dwelling places of the hereafter is the grave. And the proof is a hadith of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the grave is the first of the dwelling places of the hereafter. If he is saved from it, then what is after it is easier than it. And if he is not saved from it, then what is after is harder than it. At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. What is your belief concerning the punishment of the grave and its delights? Say, I believe that it is true for he who deserves it. And the proof is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she asked the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the punishment of the grave. So he said, the punishment of the grave is true. And it has been narrated on her that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge from the trial of the grave and the punishment of the grave from the trial of Al-Masih al-Dajjal. Muttafaqun alayh. And it is in the confirmation of the punishment of the grave and the trial of the grave that the trial of Major Dajjal. And from the proofs of his delights is the hadith of Al-Bara. And as for the believer, it is said, adorn him from paradise and upon him for a door to paradise. Then some of its pleasant odors and breezes come to him, and it will be made spacious for him in his grave as far as he can see. Tayyib. Here, the Shaykh clarifies to us that a person is either given the delight, al-na'im, or al-adhab in his grave, a punishment in his grave. From the aqeedah, the creed of Ahl Sunnah, is that a person believes that there's going to be a life after this life in his grave, which is the second abode, what the Shaykh mentioned in number 32. A person is either punished in the grave, or he is what? Given the delight. Those that were believers, those that done good, are going to be given the delight in the hereafter. As for those that were kuffar, and likewise munafiqeen, they will be punished and likewise hit with the hammer in their foreheads. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a hadith that was narrated by Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He mentioned, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا وُضِعَ فِي قَبْرِهِ وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُ أَصْحَابُهُ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسْمَعُ قَرَعَ نِعَالِهِمْ. A person, a slave, when he's put in the grave, when he's put in a grave, he hears the movement of the sandals. His friends that came to him or to bury him, they will go away from him. And the only thing that this person can hear is the movement of the sandals of the people. So what happens after that? فَيَأْتِيهِ مَلَكَانِ فَيُقْعِدَانِهِ فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولَ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ. Two angels will come to him and they will make him sit up. And they will say to him, what did you used to say regarding this person? Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he will say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. I bear witness that he is the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is the messenger. So this person will be said to him, أُنْدُرْ إِلَىٰ مَقْعَدِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ قَدْ أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَقْعَدًا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. And look at your place in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed it to be a seat from the Jannah. As for the affair of the munafiq and the kafir, the Prophet said, فَأَمَّا الْمُنَافِقُ أَوْ الْكَافِرُ فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولَ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ. The two malaika, they will say to him, what did you used to say regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So what will he say? لا أدري. Ha ha. I don't know. And he will say ha ha. And it will be said to him, لا دريت ولا تليت. And then فيضرب بمطرقة من حديد على رأسه. He will be hit with a iron hammer on his forehead, and he will shout a shouting that will be heard by everything except the thaqalain, except for the jinn and the ins. This is the affair of the munafiq, and likewise the kafir, who when he is put in his grave, he will not be able to answer. He will not be able to answer, and he will be hit until he will shout so loud that he will be heard by everything except the thaqalain. Tayyib. And everybody will be tried in the grave. They will be asked, who is your Lord? First question that will be asked is, who is your Lord? Who is your Prophet? And what is your religion? Tayyib. There are some people that will not be trialed in the grave. Everybody will be trialed except a few people that are mentioned in a few hadith. The first individual that will not be trialed is the shaheed, the martyr, the individual that died in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was in a battle. And the proof for this is the hadith that was narrated by Imam al-Nasa'i. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا بَالَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ يُفْتَنُونَ إِلَّا الشَّهِيدِ. Why is it that all the believers, they're trialed in the grave except the shaheed? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, كَفَى بِبَارِقَةِ السِّيُوفِ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ فِتْنَةِ. Enough is the strike of the sword upon his neck or upon his head. And this is enough. And he won't be basically trialed in the grave. So that's the first category of those that will not be trialed in the grave. The second category, the murabitin, those that used to guard for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was mentioned in Sahih Muslim on the authority of Salman radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ribatu yawmin wa layla khayrun min siyami shahrin wa qiyamihi. Guarding a day and a night is better for a person, قيام شهر وصيامه, that he prays throughout the night for a whole month, or he fasts a whole month. So this is a great fadila, a great virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon our brothers in Damaj when they used to guard daily on a nightly basis. You would find them trying to guard the Muslimin and those that were living in that village. Those that were living in that village, they would guard throughout the night in order that no one comes along or tries to kill the Muslimin or tries to attack them. And this fadila is not obtained in all the places. You will only find it in some places where a person has been given the ability and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed this upon them. Tayyib. And he said in the end of the hadith, وَأُجْرِيَ عَلَيْهِ عَمَلَهُ وَرِزْقَهُ. And if a person dies while guarding for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? His actions, his good deeds will carry on until يوم القيامة. So that good deed that he was doing and he died upon it, it will carry on until the day of resurrection. And likewise will be given provision. And then he said in the end of the hadith, وَأَمِنَ الْفَتَّانِ. He will be saved from the fitna of the grave on يوم القيامة. So that's two categories or two kinds of people that will not be trialed in the grave. As for the third category, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, فَبِي تُفْتَنُونَ وَعَنِّي تُسْأَلُونَ. You will be asked about me and you will be trialed regarding me. And they are those of the Anbiya. The Anbiya, they're not going to be asked about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because all of them were before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's three categories, or three kinds of people that will not be trialed in the grave. First of them is Dar al-Murabitin, the individual that was guarding for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, shaheed, naam, the shaheed. The martyr that died, and that is mentioned in the hadith which is narrated by Imam al-Nisa'i. The second one, the Murabit, and the third one, the Anbiya. The Anbiya, the prophets that came before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will not be asked about them, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for some of the false beliefs, تؤدن؟ الآن؟ طيب. بعدين إن شاء الله. طيب. As for some of the beliefs that we hear every now and again, which is the beliefs of the Mu'tazila, that there is no adab, or there's no trial in the grave. And they say, why, when you ask them, khabar ahad. Khabar ahad. They call this khabar ahad. There are some ahadith where it was only narrated by one sahabi. Let me just give you an example. One of the asanid, which is mentioned in Bukhari, حدثنا آدم قال حدثنا شعبة عن الأعمش عن أبي وائل عن حذيفة. We have a chain of narration of five here. Let's just say there's only one sahabi regarding this hadith. حذيفة رضي الله عنه narrated this hadith. And we don't have another chain of narration. They say because there's only one person that narrated the hadith, we cannot take from this hadith. And they call it khabar ahad. Some of them, they say there has to be at least three sahabi to narrate this hadith in order for us to accept it. And there has to be three in every single patch of the hadith. Or in every single level. When I said حدثنا آدم قال حدثنا شعبة, in that place of Adam, there has to be another three. Shu'ba, there has to be another three narrators in that chain of narration. Until the Sahabi, where there has to be another three. Which is absolutely batil. We know in the Mustalah al-Hadith that if the Sanad, there's no cut in between them or there's no split, and they're all thiqat, they're all authentic, and they all meet the shurud, the conditions of an authentic Hadith, that we accept it. Whether it is one, or whether it is two, or whether it is 10. And we accept it, and we don't have any doubts regarding this hadith. Which is actually a very disturbing affair. We have the hadith, which is very, very well known. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. I don't think there's a person in this room, except that he has heard about this hadith. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. This hadith was only narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab. Do we say now we don't accept this hadith, why there's only one sahabi? The answer is no. The answer is no, and there's absolutely no basis regarding this principle they have come with. Inshallah, we carry on after the adhan.
Tayyib, back to where we stopped.
Hadith al-Ahad, na'am. The issue about Hadith al-Ahad, which is absolutely something muhdath, something that has been innovated and has absolutely no basis in the ilm al-hadith, or in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only reason why some of the scholars, they mention it, like Ibn Hajar, in his kitab, Nuhbat al-Fikr, he mentioned this so, just to categorize the hadith, not in order to reject any of them, or anything like this. Rather, Ibn Hajar, rahmatullahi alayhi, wasn't from a person that would do this. It was only in a case to categorize the hadith, but people have taken this, and they've used it in the wrong context. And now you have people, they reject the hadith, even though it's in Bukhari and Muslim. We are all in agreement that Bukhari is the most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And still you find people rejecting the hadith, bihujja, that it is not from the hadith al-mutawatira. Tayyib. Number 35, when it is said to you, what is your belief concerning the resurrection and the reckoning? And receiving the book of deeds. Say, I believe that it's true. And the proof is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنْ لَنْ يُبْعَثُوا قُلْ بَلَىٰ وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبِّئُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ وَذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. The disbeliever claimed that they will not be resurrected. Say, yes, by my Lord, you will be certainly resurrected. Then you will be informed of what you did. And that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. Then as for he who will be given his record in his right hand, he will receive as an easy reckoning and will return to his family in joy. As for he who will be given his record behind his back, he will invoke for his own destruction and shall enter a blazing fire. Tayyib. Some of the things that the Shaykh he's mentioning now is regarding the beliefs of a person. A person needs to believe these things in order to make tahqiq of his deen,
in order to make tahqiq of his deen. And the thing that the Shaykh he mentioned here is the issue about resurrection. There's no person that he will be resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah, which goes in opposition to the aqeedah of the philosophers or those who base their religion upon philosophy and upon the aql, upon the intellect. They will say this is abath, or this is something that the intellect can't bear, and things like that, which is absolutely falsehood. Rather, we take the ayat and we believe in it. طيب. Number 36, when it is said to you, will the believers see their Lord on the day of resurrection? Say yes. They will see him in the vast open areas of the resurrection and in paradise. And the proof is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Some faces that day will be shining, looking at their Lord. And in the two sahihs, from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, verily you will see your Lord on the day of resurrection. And he was... And Muslim has transmitted by the chain of Hamad ibn Salama on Thabit, on Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, on Suhaib, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the people of paradise are entered into paradise, Allah will say to them, do you want me to give you anything more? They will say, haven't you brightened our faces? Haven't you entered us into paradise and saved us from the fire? Then he will remove the veil, and they will be, and they will not have been given anything more beloved to them than looking at their Lord. And the disbelievers will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection. And the proof is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Nay, surely they will be veiled from seeing their Lord on that day. طيب. This is the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And from the greatest things that a person will be blessed upon on Yawm al-Qiyamah is to see his Lord. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمَرِ لَا تُضَامُونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ. Every single one of you, one day he said to the Sahaba when they were sitting down on a night when the moon was shining bright, you are going to see your Lord like you lot are looking at this moon this very moment. Which clearly shows that a person will see his Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Will see his Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah. طيب. And it's not something or something correct that a person claims they have seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in real life. This is not something that has been narrated by any of the Sahaba, or if it is something possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qadir ala kulli shay. He has the ability for everything, but for a person to say that he's seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is not something that has any basis in the religion. Okay, there's a... In this issue, there's many hadith. طيب. You find Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned something regarding this issue. But the qawl al-rajih, the conclusion regarding this issue, and the mashayikh and likewise the ulama, they mentioned it, that he saw him ru'yat al-manamiyya. That he saw him? Okay. That he saw him in a dream. That he saw him in a dream, but he actually didn't see him in real life. And the khilaf is very, very wide regarding this. And inshallah, maybe next week, I try to shed more light regarding this issue. Okay, طيب, inshallah. طيب. It was narrated in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَقْرَأُكُمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Okay, then he said, the second category that he mentioned, the one that knows most about the Sunnah, the third category, the eldest person. Okay, so if you have like a bunch of brothers, you look at who's memorized the most, Quran. Then, the individual that has the better understanding in the Sunnah. And then the third one, which is the oldest. Basically goes in that category.
So say if someone's like 20, he knows the whole Quran, and he knows Tafsir of the Quran, and he's the youngest in the family, then
Yeah, he's the one that leads it.
From, younger, yeah. Pride,
yeah, no, 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 no. Yani the most yani established person to lead is the individual that knows the more Quran, whether it is 10 years old, whether it is 15. Naam. The one that knows the most Quran, like is mentioned in the hadith, he's the one that leads it. He's the one that leads the prayer. The age only comes in the third level. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. طيب. When it is said to you, what is your belief concerning the noble Qur'an, which is in the Mus'haf? Say, I believe that it is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not created. And the proof is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعْ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. And if one of the polytheists seeks your protection, then grant him protection, so he may hear the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point of the Shaykh mentioning this ayah is the end of it, so he may hear the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. Regarding this issue, is the Quran created or is the Quran not created? The Mus'haf, I'm actually talking the papers, is created. But the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not created. The speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not created. Is that clear? I hope you understand the difference. When you swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't swear by the Mus'haf, because the Mus'haf is created. You swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you swear by the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't swear by the Mus'haf, because the Mus'haf is only paper. طيب. And you all know the story of Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayh. When he was beaten to death, he kept on getting beaten. Why? Because he was claiming that the Quran is not created. When the Quran is not created, and you find this in many of the books of Ahlul Sunnah regarding this issue, that the Quran is not created. Minhu bada'a wa ilayhi ya'ud. And you have many ayat which clearly show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech is not created. أَفَتَطْمَعُونَ يُؤْمِنُوا لَكُمْ وَقَدْ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. There was a group that used to hear the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran is not created. Rather, this issue about saying that the Quran is created can lead to a person leaving the fold of Islam, which is an act of kufr. طيب. Number 38. When it is said to you, is the Quran Arabic or non-Arabic? I'm only speaking briefly about every issue, because inshallah the more we move on to other books and higher books, the more inshallah ta'ala we speak about the issue in depth. Because a person might get very, very confused now if we start going into elaborations or into too much depth. So now inshallah ta'ala in this book, we try to learn the issue. What is the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah? What is the aqeedah of the Sahaba? What they used to believe, then inshallah ta'ala, the more we move on, the more we learn, the more in depth that we go regarding these issues. طيب. When it is said to you, the Quran Arabic or non-Arabic? Say it is Arabic, and the proof of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْدِرِينَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ. The trustworthy spirit, Jibreel, has descended with upon your heart, that you may be the warners in a clear Arabic language. طيب. This Quran, does anyone have any doubt that the Quran is in Arabic? No, the Quran is in Arabic. We all see it, we all hear it, we all read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the Arabic language. طيب. When it is said to you, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have names and attributes? Say yes. He has names and attributes that befit His Majesty. And the proof is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong the most beautiful names, so invoke Him by them. And وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest description, and He is the Allah, He is the Almighty and All-Wise. طيب, and He mentioned, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And in the two sahihs, from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, the Imam said, because it is a description of the most beneficent, and the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed that. And his names are not restricted to a known number to us, because the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I cannot enumerate the ways of praising you. طيب. Just briefly, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know the hadith when Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أخبرني عن الإسلام, أخبرني عن الإيمان. And then he said, when he asked him about al-Iman and تؤمن بالله. That's the first thing he mentioned to him regarding al-Iman. Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's four arkan. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentions it in Usul al-Thalatha in his explanation. The first one, to believe in the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To believe in the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, to believe in singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. The third one, to believe in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fourth, to believe in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually present. طيب. As for the issue of believing in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person has to believe in it, otherwise he's not a true believer of Allah. He clearly tells us about himself in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He clearly tells us about himself and his names and attributes in his book. So we affirm it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just like he affirmed it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you he hears, or he tells you he sees, or he tells you that he has the face, or he has the hand, we affirm it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do not say how, or why, or we start asking 21 questions, etc. No, rather we believe in it, and we accept this issue. طيب. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names are not restricted to a specific number. Many of us, we might see some mushaf, some masahif, at the end of it, we have 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we might think by this, that's only restricted to 99. And the thing that springs to mind is the hadith, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ أَسْمَاءً إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعًا وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا مِيَةً إِلَّا وَاحِدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names, except إِنَّ لِلَّهِ subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names. Naam. Even in this hadith, there's no restriction. If someone says to you, now I have 20p, does that mean I don't have anything more than that? The answer is no. I could have a pound in my other pocket. I could have £5 in my back pocket. But I'm only telling you some of the things that I have. طيب. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعًا وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names. There's no restriction saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't have more. And what shows this in another hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, اللهم إني أسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرته في علم الغيب عندك. I ask you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by all your names. And the shahid from the hadith is, I also ask you by your names that you have hidden in your unseen. We understand from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has names that are hidden in the unseen, that we don't know about. So for us to restrict it to 99 and say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any more than this, that's incorrect. Because why? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah has names in the unseen that we don't know about. طيب. And inshallah, I just want to give a quick advice. I don't know if I should do it now or after the salat. What do you think? Should we do it now quickly? Yeah? طيب. It's got nothing to do with what we're learning now. But it's related to us. Why? Because we're all young and we're all in our prime. We're all in our prime youth. Naam. And we have entered summer. And me and the brother were talking about this when we was in the car. And it's a very, very big fitna. طيب. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ما تركت على أمتي فتنة أضر من النساء. I haven't left a fitna or a bigger trial upon my ummah than woman. And especially now we have entered summer, when the women, they come out their houses very, very exposed. And it's very, very hard for a person, especially if a person that is very, very young. Naam. And he could have difficulty trying to lower his gaze and might become very, very tempted. And especially in the country that we're in, the women are very, very loose. The women are absolutely awful in the way they act. And it could be a very big trial to the men. If you look at the Sharia, and likewise the hadith and ayat, there's ways in order for a person to prevent himself from falling into these desires of looking to women, okay, or falling into zina, etc. One of the best ways that a person can help himself stay away from this is lowering his gaze. And he does this especially by staying away from the places where all these women are going to come and expose their selves there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze. I know it's sometimes very, very hard. You walk in the street, your eye catches a very good looking woman. طيب. But a person after seeing this, he has to lower his gaze. You try to the best of your ability to lower your gaze. You only got the first nadar. A person is human. He's going to end up seeing this in his first look. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about an-nadarat al-faj'a, the unexpected look, he said, israf basarak. Turn away your eyes after you see the first look. When a person sees it at the first time, he tries to the best of his ability to turn away. And that doesn't mean when you see the girl, you look at her for a good 5 minutes, then you turn away. No. That's not the first look. It could be unexpected. You look at her, khalas, you still look away straight away. A lot of people, they don't know that when a person keeps on looking at a woman, his eyes are fornicating. And when he walks to a woman, his feet are fornicating. And when he pulls out to a woman, his arm, the hand is fornicating. And every single body part on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be a witness against him. It was mentioned in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, zina al-aynayn al-nadar, wa zina al-lisan al-nutq, wa zina al-aydi al-batsh. The fornication of the eyes is looking. And the fornication of the tongue is what? Speaking. And the fornication of the hand is stretching it out to a woman. And the fornication of a leg is walking to her. So, not you only going to a woman and having fornication with her, this is the only type of zina. No, rather a person's eyes can fall into zina, and likewise, he becomes sinful when he looks at her, or when he tries to enjoy himself by looking at her, etc. And every single body part will be a witness against him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah said in the Quran, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُ يَعْمَلُونَ. The day when their hands and their tongues, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ, and their feet will be a witness against them يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, for every single thing that you do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes the mujrimeen, he said, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. The mujrimeen will say on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, what's wrong with this book? He hasn't left off a small thing, not even a big thing. And everything they used to do will come to them present. وَوَجِدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And everything they used to do will be present to them on that day. So a person, if he can't control himself, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us in another hadith. What was the hadith again? About the shabab... نعم يا معشر يا معشر الجباب من استطاع منكم الباء فليتزوج. Oh youth, whoever is able to get married, then let him get married. ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصيام. And whoever is not able, he fasts. If you're not able to get married and to hold your desires, and a person by establishing this, he gets married so he can fulfill his desires with his wife. And if he can't do that, and you're finding a lot of difficulty controlling yourself, na'am, you try to fast. You can fast Mondays and Thursdays when there's much fadila regarding this. And if you can't do, if this is too small for you, try to do Siyam al-Da'ud, where you fast one day and you break your fast for one day. And you fast for one day and you break your fast for one day. And this will inshallah ta'ala help you, na'am, and likewise preserve your body parts, especially in a time and in the period of summer where the fitna is very, very much. And it's very difficult for a person to hold himself and likewise stop his desires from taking over. And inshallah, it's only a quick nasiha to all of us. We are all men. I know how every single one of us feels, especially in these kind of times. And inshallah, these are only ways in order for a person to try and stop his desires from taking over. Jazakum Allah khair. And I do apologize for last week. I really dislike cutting the lessons because the people, they start forgetting about the lessons. Might not come this week and then for another few weeks that he might come. But inshallah, if something like this happens, the brother will be here inshallah, just in case someone comes. And likewise, we'll be spreading it on WhatsApp to the people so they don't end up coming and not finding a lesson. But inshallah, do be patient. Things like that happen. We're all human. Become sick. Become well. And inshallah, do not lose hope regarding this. فجزاكم الله خير. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And جزاك الله خير for coming.